Thank you, Lord, for this holy space that we can come each week to breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out fear and anxiety. For this time set aside away from the world to worship you, we give you thanks. For food to eat and clothes to wear and pillows to lay our heads on at night. For the days when our bodies are working and our minds are healthy. May we never take these things for granted. For our families, dear Lord, given or chosen, quirks and all the things that make our families, we give you thanks. For Christmas lights popping up on homes everywhere, illuminating our common bond as we await the birth of Jesus. On this day, as we hear Mary's story, the story of a young woman given an overwhelming call, help us to see that just as you sent someone to walk with her when she was lonely and afraid, you send people to walk with us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So many of us, I'm looking at some of you now, have been so blessed that we have been able to sit in the sanctuary every Sunday of our whole lives. And to hear about God's love and God's promise and God's mercy and God's hope. And if you're here and this is your first time, I hope that you come back on Tuesday and Wednesday and next Sunday and any day, because it will change your life. We gather together on days when we are filled with joy and when life is so good and full of wonderful things. And we gather here when there are deep, huge pains in our life. When we don't know where to go or who to turn to, we can come here and feel God's love and God's warmth wrapping us up in God's arms. And I can't imagine a more perfect scripture to be reading at this time of year than the story of Mary, of Mary's life, because Mary is us. Our story this morning began a few weeks earlier when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was going to have a child, that she was going to give birth to God. And we hear this story so often that we're kind of like, oh yeah, this teenage girl, she got pregnant, and she's going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be God. I mean, can you even imagine? And so I ask you to think for a moment back to your own teenage years, whether they were in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or whenever they were, and think, what were you doing after school on those years? If you were like me, you were watching a great big, huge console TV, the Brady Bunch, and you were eating as much cheesecake as you could eat before your mom got home. And what you were, possibly you were in sports, you were doing something that a typical teenager does, and someone comes up, an angel. Just an angel, if you think of that. Was it white? Was it glowing? Was it translucent? What did an angel even look like? It seems like it's worthy of our attention. And the angel tells you that you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Let that sink in a moment. The Son of God. Oh, and your old cousin Elizabeth, you know that great aunt Elizabeth, the really, really, really old one? Well, she is pregnant also. In some unimaginable fashion, Mary first says, "How can this be?" And then a moment later, somehow manages to utter these most powerful words, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Wow. Can you imagine what our lives would be like if we started each day saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word"? I'm guessing they'd be a wee bit easier than we tend to make them. Now, whether she said these words hoping the angel would just then leave so that she could go back to her life, or did she really have such unflappable faith at that young age, we don't know. But what we do know is that she packed a bag and that she left for 3 months to go with her to visit her great aunt. And I wonder if it's because she was worried about the ridicule of the town or the questions or the looks, or if she just wanted to see if what this angel said was true. Was her aunt pregnant as well? So she went. And Mary goes off and she sees her aunt. And the moment Mary walks in the door, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb, the baby that would go on to become John the Baptist. And she cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And something about seeing her cousin also in the same state, seeing her old cousin, makes her realize that there is someone who is also experiencing what she is experiencing, and that God has placed someone to walk with her on this journey. And in the assurance that young Mary, she finds her cousin's spirit-filled words, and she utters her Magnificat, those words that you just heard read that have been carved in stone and spoken in prayer and sung in music for centuries. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Uttered by a teenage girl some 2,000 years ago, they have been a beacon of hope for all who feel lost and forgotten and hopeless ever since. Sister Elizabeth Johnston writes, "The Magnificat is a revolutionary song of salvation. People in need in every society hear a blessing in this canticle. The battered woman, the single parent without resources, those without food on the table or without even a table, the homeless family, the young abandoned to their own devices, the old who are discarded, all are encompassed in the hope that Mary proclaims. God placed Mary in Elizabeth's path and Mary in Elizabeth's. They were each other's earth angels." And so I ask you this morning, who has God placed in your path to love, to listen to care for, to respect? And who has God placed in your path to love you, to care for you, to nurture you, and to respect you? It is the fourth Sunday in Advent. Christmas is 3 days away. Plenty of time to prepare our anxious hearts for the birth of the Christ child. I leave you with this gospel challenge. Grab your bulletin, bring it home. And before you fall asleep tonight, read those words of Mary and imagine with the news that was given her, if she could learn to trust, then surely we can do the same. Because Mary's story really is our story. When everything feels so beyond our control, when we're confused and sad and lonely and angry and just simply done, let's do what Mary did and reach out to one of the earthly angels that God has placed in our lives. And then, like Mary, we trust. Body of Christ given for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Amen.